In the new book, The Writing Life, dozens of famous authors write about the joy and terror of staring at a blank space and filling it with words. Taken together, their essays read like intimate conversations about writing. To capture the spirit of the book, Morning Edition invited three of its contributors to a kind of literary salon. Not the kind that really happens in a salon. This one takes place in three separate studios across the country.
Hello.
In one studio on the West Coast is novelist Jane Smiley.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Whose novels burrow into the hollows of American life.
Right.
A rural family comes apart in A Thousand Acres. A real estate agent trifles with greed in her latest book, Good Faith.
Jane?
Yes.
At a second studio in New York is John Edgar Wideman.
I can hear you perfectly.
He's written prize-winning novels such as Philadelphia Fire and powerful memoirs about family, neighborhood, and race in America.
Okay.
Finally, in a studio in Berkeley, California.
Hello, it's Michael.
Author Michael Chabon. He's probably best known for the novel The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. One more participant now. Atmosphere. To make this sound more like a salon, some ambiance from a place where famous writers once gathered, the Algonquin Hotel in Manhattan. There. Now, Michael Chabon starts the conversation by saying he feels vulnerable when he writes, because readers assume he's writing about himself, even when he's not.
And that's when it gets scary, and that's when I have that tendency to think, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe if I say that this father in this story I'm writing hit his kid, then people are going to think that my father hit me. And I don't want people thinking that about him. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
You're such a nice person. I just throw them all into the pit and say, swim for your life.
Without a moment's hesitation?
Absolutely. I used to sense that feeling of danger, but now I've become inured to it.
You mean the kind I'm talking about where you're revealing things that ought not to be revealed so it will be taken? I mean, for example, with 1,000 Acres, did you have any hesitation dealing with that subject matter?
Well, it was more that since I didn't have the experience of incest myself, I was afraid that I would get it wrong.
Right.
And that my sort of intellectual understanding of what was going on would turn out to be shallow and stupid. I didn't really so much think that those things would be attributed to me, and they have. But if they have, I've corrected those misconceptions as much as best I can.
I sort of worry if I don't have a sense of danger.
Right.
Because then I think I haven't found the subject matter
that it's
going to draw the best out of me. That's what I say to my students. Hey, if you're not afraid of the subject matter, if you don't have a stake in it, almost in the sense of a stake that you put in a vampire's heart, if you don't have a stake in it, then what's the point? So in the same sense that a fighter needs to go into a fight sweating, I think there should be at least a bit of a frisson before you begin writing, before
I agree.
A subject.
I have to say I don't agree. The horse has to go into a race relaxed. And that's how it seems to me that I need to go into my work. I try to write in a comic voice a lot and to be tensed up about my work. Sometimes it serves as a spur, but other times it serves to kill the comic invention that I want to achieve. So
sweat,
I think there's several.
Sweat is not tension. Sweat is not tension.
Sweat
means looseness, means readiness, means your muscles and your body are ready to do
a
job.
Is that true? Because when you see a horse, a paddock parade of horses, the one that's sweaty is the one you never bet on.
But I don't. I'm not talking about horses. I'm talking about fighters and people. People are different. People have a body and a mind, and just some heavy lifting that has to go on in writing. And the energy that comes from being slightly intimidated or slightly frightened or even scared to death of material doesn't hurt.
Moving on now to listen in on a different part of this conversation among authors John Edgar Wideman, Jane Smiley, and Michael Chabon. Here they talk about how they feel about their previous books. Chabon speaks first.
I don't like any of them. I find it very painful to reread things that I've done in the past, whether people liked them or didn't like them. It's exactly the same sensation as rereading letters that you wrote to a girlfriend when you were 17 or anything that sort of somehow represents a past self. I find it to be very uncomfortable to contemplate.
Well, they're just irrelevant because the fun is whatever one happens to be writing at the time. whenever I have a public reading at a library, university, whatever, I seldom read things that have been published. It's always more fun to pick up the live piece, the piece that's still in jeopardy, the piece that's still to come. Because then if I hear something either good or bad, that becomes part of the edit. That becomes part of the next rereading, rewriting. But the stuff that's already done, that really is for other people. It has no life anymore.
You know, Charles Dickens always told John Forster that whatever book he was working on at the moment was his best ever, and it was so fabulous, and he just loved it. And I wondered if you all have the same response to your current work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would be, it should feel like the best thing you've ever done. But I think the thing that's embarrassing for me is imperceptibly when you're writing a novel, at least in my case, the circumstances of your life sort of get stitched up into the novel in ways that you aren't really aware of. And then years later, if you sort of unfold that cloth and shake it out in front of other people, weird little things bounce out of it. Memories that got nestled inside of it, like bits of pollen or dust. So that there might be, I don't know, a description of a woman described in a certain way, and you recognize that as having been drawn directly from a woman that you knew at this period you were writing the book. And there are often these feelings of mortification about things like that.
Well, isn't it true that one of the beauties of work in progress is that sometimes the critical faculty is turned off? One simply doesn't think about how good it is or where it will fit in the canon of Western literature or the novel. It's just that here's this thing I'm doing and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I think this is an interesting secret that we have, that we really enjoy our work, because the convention about writing is that it's a lonely, difficult business. And I always thought that I was the only one who was sitting in my office saying, wow, hooray, I love this.
It's a privilege to think that one can get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee and then devote 3-4 hours to just one's thoughts. I think it's more the process that is the fun and forgetting about the end product.
Writers John Edgar Wideman, Michael Chabon, and Jane Smiley, their essays and those of dozens of other writers are in the new book, The Writing Life, Writers on How They Think and Work. The essays first appeared in the Writing Life column of the Washington Post. At npr.org is an excerpt from the book and a longer version of this conversation with snippets such as this one.
Do you guys think that the general public used to pay more attention to what writers were up to because it seems writers used to kind of stand up publicly and beat each other up? You know, you had these like famous literary feuds, and Gore Vidal was always fighting with someone, and Norman Mailer was always fighting with someone.
They were famous in New York. They weren't famous in Iowa.
I wonder sometimes if it's because we're not stabbing each other at cocktail parties.
Are you suggesting you could have been a contender, Michael?
No, I would have been somebody who got stabbed, I think, definitely.